Hey, college basketball fans, it's time for the Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schrader, and I am privileged to write and talk about the Missouri Valley and Ohio Valley basketball conferences. We talk to players, coaches, media members, yep, and the fans about the Valley and the OVC. Stick around. We have a great show for you today. The Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast wants you to know about our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. A great salesman with great products, that's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The One Puede Project is a missions organization helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa, and you should join the Upside app. You'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code HARRY5474. Well, welcome to ValleyHoopsInsider.com and the Voices of the Valley portion of our website. I'm Harry Schrader. Glad to be with you today. So much going on in the Missouri Valley Conference. Of course, most of you are with us and reading our stuff all throughout the weekend. Arch Madness, great final between Drake and Indiana State. But throughout the weekend, as teams were losing, coaches were also losing their jobs. And we did that live podcast, Maybe it was Saturday with Luke Martin talking about the now vacant head coaching position at Southern Illinois. And we wanted to follow up. Missouri State has also let go their head coach, Dana Ford. UIC has let go their head coach, Luke Yaklich. And so we wanted to bring in people that know stuff, people that are covering the beat. And who else better but Wyatt Wheeler of the Springfield News Leader.
I feel like a lot of people would tell you that I know a lot of nothing. I don't know much, Harry. So that's a lot nicer than what a lot of people would say.
Not at all. First of all, we missed you this weekend in St. Louis. Just your overall thoughts about the conference tournament, just watching from afar and paying attention.
It was awesome. No, there were so many good games, and the games we thought would be good delivered. No, it was and even some surprises, whether it was that UIC win over Southern Illinois that really made up for some not so good games over that first day. But then you get the Belmont Northern Iowa game the next day, which was awesome. You get Bradley, you get Drake going at it. And then a championship game where it looked like Drake was going to run away with it. Indiana State comes back to make it a game. So it was as good as it could be. I think you got to be really happy with how the tournament played out. As far as will that turn into some multiple bids, I think that that's something that me and you who have watched this all year would say, heck yes, let's put them. You put both of them in, but there's going to be a lot of politicking and everything that goes over the next until Selection Sunday. That. You know, I hope it happens. You see the national voices and you get scared. And I wouldn't want to be in Terre Haute right now because that doesn't sound like much fun.
It's a bad week for them. They have a watch party scheduled for Sunday night. Ooh. And I hope they get excited when they have that watch party on Sunday. But it's a pins and needles week for them. I talked to Josh Schertz after the game, and, you know, he was obviously, I'm optimistic. I hope this and that. But he also knows, you know, to be realistic. And you always feel for that team that loses, no matter where in the bracket, that team that loses, I'm sad for them, you know. And so they lost Sunday. But for the league, Drake winning gives them the chance they have to have two teams. And
yeah.
There wasn't going to be two teams if it was Indiana State. And so the league at least has a shot at having two teams go to the tournament.
Yeah, I think so. I think people can look at Indiana State and say that's a good basketball team. I think that's going to be a large part of it because of the quad one wins that is going to be hung over its head for the entirety of the rest of this week. So we know Indiana State's an awesome mid-major basketball team, one that can compete and go on a run in this tournament. It's just a matter of how many bids are stolen over the next few days and just kind of stuff along those lines. And, you know, I did that whole series with Barry Henson over the summer, just talking about how they had the highest RPI ever to get snubbed. And you make me smile when you say there that but they're having a watch party at Indiana State. Missouri State learns quick fast enough that you only do that if you know you're in. And for Indiana State to make that gamble, that can be a weird scene, one that just kind of rips your heart out, or it can be a great celebration. So as somebody who loves the Valley, that wants to watch Robbie Avila's star only grow, I would love to see Indiana State in playing in the NCAA tournament.
They might go to Dayton. Who knows? We hope that they get in. We hope that they get in. The Valley makes a lot of money because they have teams there and they win some games and raise the profile. On, I guess it was Sunday, the Missouri State announced that they were parting ways with Dana Ford. Before we talk about that, talk about Dana as a person. You know him a lot better than I do, and I think we both hold him in high regard, but talk about him.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed Dana. That's somebody that, you know, I started here at the News Leader the full time 7 years ago, and Dana Ford was here for six of them. For his entire career, I got to cover. And that's a young coach that I got to know, energetic and everything, passionate about helping others. Just a good voice in the community as far as he and his wife's work with victims of domestic assault. You think of we're getting young children involved and getting to know police during some tough times in America. Dana has been somebody who has a heart for community and just wants to help people. And you know, I've written this a few times, and I know I do this job to where I'm going to be good. I'm going to say good things when they're happening. I'm going to say bad things when they're happening, call out the bad when it's happening. And, you know, that's not always the most fun when you have to sit there at a press conference and be like, Dana, do you think this was your last game? You coached at Springfield. But you know, I've always respected him. There've been some hard things to write. There's been some fun memories as well, but couldn't get over the hump. Couldn't get the Bears to a title that the NCAA tournament they've been seeking since 99. So right now they're in the middle of trying to find his next one.
You wrote a number of stories about attendance there and what is and isn't working there at Missouri State. And then mid-season, there was the statement by Mr. Moats saying, man, this performance was unacceptable. Do you think the decision on Dana was baked in at that point, unless some crazy, wild, great turnaround happened?
Yeah, and I also think stuff might have been discussed before the year. Just like, hey, you need to get here, you need to have it this good, or else we're not going to bring you back. Just set some expectations, I would think, because there was some talk about this at the end of last season, and they ended up deciding to back him. You cut the buyout in half to where it makes it much easier to be able to make that call. So, that stretch, of course, that grab that was uncharacteristic. You don't see a lot of ADs doing that anywhere. So it was, the writing was kind of on the wall there. They're able to win four straight games, have some fun looks. And then they lose 5 of 7, 6 of 8, something like that to end the regular season. And we knew it was going to happen. So, it's best for Missouri State to move on. It's probably best for Dana to move on as well, because he still has a future in coaching.
Yeah, I believe that too. And wow, he's a great recruiter. And you mentioned his desire for bettering his community, just spectacular. And obviously, you know, he's a leader of young men. So the timeline, we thought about it last year. We gave him one more year. It didn't last. It didn't work. Now we're cutting ties. He wasn't surprised either by that announcement or what they decided. What do you think they do next? I've seen a lot of people talking, you know, we always do this, right? We make our likely list and there's people talking about Ben McCollum but talk about what you think Missouri State's looking for in a coach. What kind of coach are they looking for right now?
You know, I've heard so many different things over the last few days that it's just kind of hard to keep it straight, because you're thinking, because we're at a different time in Missouri State to where this makes it a little more unorthodox when you think, oh, they're bringing in a new president. They just hired him. They announced him a little over a week ago, to where how involved is he going to be in this? There have been some questions about what the future of AD looks like. From everything I've heard, Kyle Motes is involved in this head coaching search. He's working really hard to try to find somebody. And I think he's going to have to try to take a big swing and bring somebody in that way, trying to get maybe a big name again. When you consider, hey, this is the guy that brought in Bobby Petrino. I don't think they're going to be able to get to Petrino name level. Ben McCollum, of course, is the name that's been floated around the most around this job. And that's kind of been going on for over a year, just kind of looking back to the potential of last year. I don't know if that's going to, I still am not certain that's going to happen. I know there's some anonymous coaching changes, Twitter accounts out there, and, you know, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, but, they're not putting their name to it. And it's hard to really, I mean, I could make a fake account right now and say that I'm Father Harry and start, telling people to skip church on Sunday. And, you know, that's, and Father Harry would never do that.
Never.
There's a lot of smoke sometimes, you know, but they just need somebody desperately that can show they can win. I've heard in recent days, they're looking at the Power Conference assistant coaches, McCollum's in that mix. Rodney Perry's another in that mix that's been around, that former player at Missouri State, Kansas State assistant. Trey Young just quote tweeted me this morning saying, hey, hire Rodney Perry. And I'm like, oh, it's like, okay, Trey Young. But they got to check everything. And I know they've tried to swing for the fences even before Dana, didn't end up getting that done. It's fascinating to see. Missouri State's good at keeping this close to the chest. Kyle's good at keeping it close to the chest. They do have Biff Williams, the president, involved in the search. They've kind of been pretty quiet about who's on the search committee as far as how involved outgoing president Cliff Smart is. But I, from what I understand, Biff Williams is involved. Kyle Motes is heavily involved. And, you know, that's a different net when you think of Biff Williams being involved, because we don't know what his connections are. Utah Tech president previously, how far does that go back with some of the relationships he has? It's been interesting to watch unfold, and it's only going to get crazier over the next week or so.
It's funny, you know, you were doing those stories about attendance, and I was charting attendance all year long for the league, and 9 of the 12 teams had improvements. Missouri State wasn't one of them, and they dropped and have been dropping. To me, they're not winning games and losing attendance. That's like a bad, you know, that's like the double whammy right there. And so the next announcement is really critical for them. I think of, you know, we all know that Ben McCollum's a really outstanding coach. He's kind of Josh Schertz, if you know what I mean, like really highly successful Division II guy. But if they have a press conference this week and say the guy from Northwest Missouri State's coming here, I don't know that that's a press conference that they're, you know, throwing a parade about.
Yeah, you know, I think the outspoken fans, I think he's turned into their favorite. Just when they look at the resume, 4 national championships, 2-0 against Josh Schertz was another one on there. But, you know, I don't know, just getting the sexiest name right now, I don't know how that's going to work out. You know, they just looking previously, they go to Purdue and they get Konzo Martin. And what do they say? They say, hey, let's go back to Purdue. Let's get Paul Lusk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of that works out. And Dana was really good in that first part, to where he had a lot of people fired up. The press conference I wrote in a story was his biggest win of his career, just because that set that inspired a lot of hope. It's easy when you think of a Ben McCollum, you can write championship winning coach. in a headline. And I think people would maybe open their eyes and be like, okay, they got an X's and O's guy that's going to come in here and know how to do things, top 10 defenses in D2 over the last several years. Then you also look at the former players route that might be able to inspire some of the old folks to come back, and whether that's a Blake Ahern, who Art Haynes is kind of thrown out there a little bit more than I would probably go right now. But you'd also go to a Rodney Perry, who's been in the area, who's won in the area, he's coached a couple of the high schools before he got some of these assistant coaching jobs. Link Academy took them to a national championship the first year and finished as runner-up before he went off to K-State. So there's a lot that there's, you know, I think they're going to have to win a little bit before some things come back to life. And I know Dana took a lot of tried to take some of the heat off of Missouri State too, saying, hey, I got to win and people will come. And the main focus of that whole series that I wrote was that there needs to be a more communication, more relationship between the fans, administration, people at the university, to where a lot of people feel alienated, and that doesn't fall on Dana. I really wanted to look at the problems that weren't winning and losing, because there are a lot of things Missouri State's not doing that can easily be done to get people back in. And not feel as pushed away as they've felt probably over just in this decline since Paul Lusk started losing and they kept him around a few years too long. And these last 2 years under Dana, especially when they took some steps back.
Are you in the market for a new car? I was, and I ended up at Don Brown Chevrolet here in St. Louis. Don Brown is famous for saying they are on King's Highway at the entrance to the hill, and I went to Don Brown Chevrolet, and salesman Ben Yates answered all of my questions. He went the extra mile and helped me understand what the process was like, and then he got me perfectly situated in my brand new Chevrolet Trailblazer. I hate buying cars. I hate all the back and forth. And Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet took all the manipulation out of it, helped me find the car I wanted and really that I needed. If you're looking for a new car, go to Don Brown Chevrolet, but not just to that great dealership. Call 314-474-0270 and ask for my new friend, Ben Yates. There's a picture of Ben and me and my brand new car on our website, valleyhoopsinsider.com. Low pressure, great service, helpful to a fault. Let Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet know you heard about it from me, Harry Schrader, at valleyhoopsinsider.com. Two questions or two different kind of tangential thoughts. I always think Missouri State's the biggest school in the conference. Missouri State might be, it's at least second to Des Moines in terms of the area, in terms of
Chicago. Chicago's pretty big.
Yeah, but that's a whole different animal. UIC isn't really in, I mean, anyway, you know.
No, UIC doesn't get talked about in Chicago. Belmont doesn't get talked about in Nashville. So Drake, Des Moines likes its Drake around this time of year, but they're more Iowa and Iowa State. But Missouri State's right, should be right up there.
And so when I think about that, I think Missouri State ought to be the beast in every sport. It's the biggest school, probably has the most, I don't know if it has the most money, but it has the most resource to potentially have the most money. But they struggle in the revenue sports. They struggle. Football hasn't won. Basketball hasn't won. I know they've got some, you know, I know baseball has been wildly successful. The Lady Bears and basketball have been really good. But in the revenue sports, they've really struggled. Is there a common theme there, Wyatt Wheeler?
Well, it's been missing on coaches. I mean, they bring in Dave Steckel after Terry Allen was pretty liked in the community, just wasn't able to get over the hump. They hired Dave Steckel. They go 1-10. They don't win more than four games under him. They go 1-10 again. And then they're able to get out of that and hire Bobby Petrino. Petrino wins for a couple of years and goes on to a different job. His kids are now in charge of Missouri State football. We'll see how the potential goes there. I think that's still up in the air. Men's basketball, just kind of looking at the last two coaches. That's Paul Lusk, who wasn't able to get it done. That's Dana Ford, who wasn't able to get it done. And that's 12 years. of head coaches that haven't been able to get this program over the hump. And that's a long time.
Yeah,
I just look at some of these coaching hirings and how they haven't nailed those. And then when you bring up the success in Lady Bears, Kyle Motes has really good connections to women's basketball. I think he's pretty close with a ESPN announcer for women's basketball. One of the somebody that's heavily involved there helped get Beth Cunningham through her, pointed her in the right direction of Coach Mox the years before, following Kelly Harper, who's at Tennessee right now. So Kyle was able to really nail those. And then he's left baseball alone. You have a legendary coach
Smart
who's been
man.
Here for forever, and they'll end up hiring the associate head coach from within. So those two things have just been really set. Lady Bears and baseball have been really set up. Good connections for Kyle, and you gotta give him the credit he deserves there for having having that connection on the women's side, knowing what to do there. They just haven't been able to nail it on men's basketball. Football, they got a jump started a little bit over these last few years, but it's still to be determined how this is going to go with Ryan Beard, the son-in-law of Bobby Petrino. Nick Petrino is an OC and everything. So just missing out on some of those is just kind of – that's over a decade long of looking between those two programs of mediocre or not very good with a couple good years in between when Bobby was here.
The obsession might be the wrong word, but the strong interest in that area of Missouri State trying to go to a different – conference for football obviously would be the reason. It's the money issue. Dr. Smart has been a real leader in the Missouri Valley Conference and a seemingly a really outstanding president for Missouri State. What is the deep interest in that? Is it all just about football money, or is it Missouri State, Springfield area has this, hey, we belong with the big boys. It's the little brother syndrome. We got to get up there and play with the big boys. What are the thoughts there?
I don't think there's enough people with interest right now in Missouri State athletics to say that the community is really itching for it, but it could be a thing that could get some people back into having some interest. Now, does the Conference USA move the needle when you're thinking of some of those teams in the league? It's like, oh, are you getting an Arkansas State to come in, or Florida International just come in the Plaster Stadium on a Saturday afternoon? I'm not totally sure about that, but could it be more than a little? Could it be more than North Dakota State or Youngstown State, and thank goodness Western Illinois is out of the league, because I didn't want to go to those, and I'm getting paid to go to those. So, I think there's a fear of getting left behind. I think Missouri State has always wanted to, I think there is kind of a little brother syndrome to some of the stuff, trying to get to be at a higher level to compete with the Mizzou's in the state. Now, of course, you don't have the funding that Mizzou has in athletics, but just as far as a profile of university standpoint, hey, they're FBS, they're playing in bowl games. MSU wants to be known as a flagship university in this state. Now, it's the second biggest in the state. They've been able to compete with Mizzou in some athletics, playing with them pretty well in the baseball diamond. Lady Bears had a good long streak against them for a while. Missouri State's still a little bit of an afterthought when you come to state athletics and just how high profile that is. So I think that goes into it. I think the fans that are closest, the ones that are more outspoken, they want to see the move. And it would just be a money thing. Hey, you're trying not to get left behind. You want some of that. You want some of that money to go in television streaming. And that's just kind of how I've kind of taken it. You know, I'd be very curious when I see President Smart put out about 2 weeks ago a statement on Dana Ford and how they couldn't buy him out because they didn't have the funds. You're just kind of saying, oh, we can't buy our coaches out at times you'd like us to because we don't have the money. I was like, well, you have the money to go up to FBS. You have you have the money to go play a road tennis match in Delaware if you're Conference USA.
Right.
You want to send your volleyball team. You want to send your swim team all the way up to Delaware for a midweek conference road game. So that's where I hesitate there. I don't think the football facilities are where they need to be. It's for kind of an FBS jump. But, you know, if people want to throw that money in there, if they feel passionate about it, if this incoming president who, you know, his resume shows he took what was previously Dixie State, now Utah Tech. He took that school from being a junior college, turned it into a Division II school, and recently moved it up to FCS. And he knows, he puts a lot of emphasis on how people look at the athletics program. And FBS is a change of one letter, but it does bring a little more prestige, I guess, to the school. But you know me, I'm not advocating for this. Robbie Avila, Brian Wardle in red suits on Sundays. That's where I'm at. I'd rather do a road trip to normal Illinois than Miami, Florida. I can't go to Miami, Florida. Look at me. I wouldn't be able to live.
The One Play Day Project is near and dear to my heart. Parts of West Africa are extremely poor, and birth defects and malnutrition are rampant. In those impoverished countries, the When Poide Project is there to help with medical treatment, surgeries, medicines, and therapy. Well, really, whatever those children need. If you'd like to help, head to sheltering-wings.org. You'll see someone with my last name on there, and you can lend a hand to terminally ill children in West Africa. That's sheltering-wings.org. I'm a big fan of the Upside app. I'm making cash back every time I use the Upside app for gas, groceries, my favorite fast food place, and other restaurants. Go to the Upside app and type in the invite code HARRY5474, and you can make a little extra to help out your bottom line. It's the Upside app with the invite code HARRY5474.
Wichita's bigger than small town. I'll give it a little better credit than small town. But you know, you saw what winning did for that fan base. You saw what it did when they're going for Final Fours. You saw Loyola grow, yeah, because of Final Fours. When we looked at that and was just like, what is the league doing adding Loyola? But they turned out to be the best of everyone post Wichita leaving. So you win and you're able to get that up. Missouri State just hasn't done that. So there's been jealousy there for a long time over what Wichita State was able to do. That's who Missouri State considered its rival for a long time. You look at the facilities and everything. Missouri State is as good as facilities as anyone, but they finished ninth place this past season. And had to fire their head coach after not having success for the second time.
I'll let you go after this, Wyatt. Based on past history, and it was 6 years ago, but based on history, your thoughts about how quickly Mr. Motes and the university are able to move and land the person. You have any crystal ball to tell us about how long you think that might take? Obviously, a lot of these teams are playing right now, and so, you know, there might be a fairly long delay. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Porter Moser saying, hey, you've seen these rumors, and he's 100% like angry that people think he would even talk to. I talked to him today and I asked him about that. He said, I have never, and I will never talk to somebody while the season's going on. He said, it's not a thing I'll do. I talked to Josh Schertz about it a couple of weeks ago. He said, if people are talking to my agent, they are. I told my agent, I don't want to know anything until the season's over. And
yeah,
and so I realize you mentioned smoke and fake accounts and all those other things out there. There's a lot out there running around, but your thoughts about maybe how soon they might land a coach?
Hopefully quick, because I hate this. This is my least favorite thing to cover, aside from some dumb things here in town that I usually try to ignore. I'm looking at, I reached out to Todd Golden, a good friend of the league. We love Todd Golden.
Yep.
Happy for the success he's having at covering the Indiana beat now. But when I think of Ben McCollum, and if that's the way they go, Indiana State and Josh Schertz were connected and hired before McCollum coached in the Elite Eight at the Division II level, before Schertz coached at the Elite Eight level. Mm-hmm. So you think, okay, maybe after this upcoming weekend, there could be a little bit more there after Northwest Missouri State plays in its Division II regional that starts Saturday. Maybe stuff starts to pick up. They're in a tough regional with the number two team in the country, because Division II does really stupid things with how it draws up its tournaments, making you just play regional. It's ridiculous. But, you know, that's a possibility. And, you know, you're going to hear more. And I know they want to get it done as quick as possible. They're trying to keep some of the kids on their roster, just trying not to enter the transfer portal immediately, just saying, hey, we're going to get you a good coach. So I think just as far as transfer portal goes and trying to get people in there and settled so they can go out and attack it, I would expect it within the next 2 weeks and hopefully quicker, because like I said, I hate this.
I lied. I have one more question. What's the NIL? What's the NIL's kind of situation there at Missouri State for basketball players?
You know, they have their own collective. I've tried to talk to people there before. They have two collectives, one that's mainly football, one that's mainly men's basketball. You know, Dana was really aggressive on that. So he's getting these players some money. He said that's part of that's just a part of what they have to do to recruit these kids these days. So that's going to be really interesting. But they do have NIL stuff set up. They don't really like talking. People behind these things don't really like talking about it, just because, oh, it can make somebody jealous and, you know, the inner workings there within a locker room. So that's going to be interesting. And, there are some players that Missouri State would like to keep, of course, whether it's Alston Mason, who had a great year. NJ Benson is going to be a great player in this league. Damian Mayo is just a really solid player to build a team is going to give you everything, and you don't have to worry about him ever. Tyler Bay has some promise, had some injuries, some illness throughout this year that kind of kept him from seeing the court and living up to the potential that Dana really built up for him in the preseason. So they're going to have to get on a lot of this quick, and NIL is going to come into play. From what I've heard, that Mizzou, some other power conference schools have already tried to reach out to gauge Alston Mason's interest, just kind of dating back to Moats' statement in mid-January when, sure, you know, people are going to start asking about. I know people started asking about the job back then. They fielded some interest back then. So, and that goes for players and their futures as well. So it's going to be really interesting.
Wild, wild west these days in college basketball, that's for sure. And the Bears need a new coach. Wyatt, really appreciate your time today. Appreciate your insights and your friendship.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime. I just want this over with.
That's Wyatt Wheeler, the Springfield News leader, covering the Missouri State Bears beat and giving us all the intel on what's going to happen next. Thanks for listening to the Valley Hoops Insider radio show and podcast. Don't forget to visit our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. He's a great salesman with great products. That's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The 1.8 Project, it's a missions organization. They're helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa. And you should join the Upside app I have, and you'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code Harry 5474. Thanks for listening, and remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again.